Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning. As we continue in these last two surahs from Juzamah, excuse me, it's in the Tafsir of Juzamah. We're on page 202. And we're in Surah An-Naziat. Surah An-Naziat translates as those who drag forth the Tajweedi Quran. So we'll open with the Fatiha and then we'll move into the recitation of the surah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة قلوب يومئذ واهفة أبصارها خاشعة يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة أئذا كنا إذا من خيرا قالوا تلك إذا كرة خسيرة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالسامرة هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلا أن تزكى أهديك إلى ربك فتخشى فأراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى ثم أدبر يسعى فأشهر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأخلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سلكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها Mata alakum halianamikum Vaida jati stomatu kubra Yauma yatanda karulin sanumasa a Wabur yizatil jahimulimayara Vamahamandoha Vatharalvayata dunya Vainaljabhi mahiyar mahva Vamahamanalva makama rabihi Vanahanafsa nirhava Vaina janata hi armava Yasalunaka nisati ayanahursa Fiha antamindukrata Ila rabbika muntaka muntahaha Innama anta munziru mayakshah kannahum yauma yaraunaha lam yarbathu illa shiryatan arduha. Recite the English Sadakalahari. In the name of Allah, the universally merciful, the singularly compassionate, I swear by those who drag forth violently, by those who draw out gently, by the swimmers swimming, by those who swiftly overtake, by those who govern the event. Upon the day when the first trumpet sounds and the second follows, here hearts that day shall throb and their eyes shall be downcast. They will say, what? Are we to be restored to our former state? What? When these old bones have crumbled to dust? They say, then that would be a losing return. Truly, it will require but a single cry and they shall be fully awakened. Has the story of Musa reached you? How his Lord called him in the holy valley of Tuwa. Go to Pharaoh, he has exceeded the limits, and say, do you have the will to purify yourself? And I will guide you to your Lord, and you shall be in awe. So he showed him the great sign, and then he, Pharaoh, denied, rebelled, turned away in haste, and he gathered, then he summoned. Then he, the Pharaoh, said, I am your Lord, the Most High. So Allah seized him with the chastisement of the final world and this world. Truly, and this is a sign for all who stand in awe of their Lord. Are you more difficult to create than the firmament? He built it, raised high its vault, and set it in order, and he made dark its night and brought forth its morning. And the earth, after that, he spread it wide. And from it brought forth its waters and pastures, and the mountains set firm. Provision for you and your animals, and when there comes the great catastrophe, the day when the people shall remember all they have done. And the blazing fire will be laid open for whoever can see. Then, for he who has exceeded the limits and preferred the life of the world, truly hell shall be his refuge. But for he who fears the presence of his Lord and keeps himself from lust, truly the garden shall be his refuge. They ask you of the hour and when it shall come to pass. Why? What do you have to relate about it? To your Lord is the knowledge of its finality. Truly you are but a warner to the one who is in all of it. On the day when they see it, it will seem they spent but an evening. In this world, or a morn. Surat An-Naziat was revealed in Mecca and consists of 46 verses. in which Allah Most High says, Wanaziati gharaka, I swear by the angels who tear out the souls of the wicked with violence. He swears by those angels which take out the souls of the disbelievers from their bodies with force and violence and then throw them into the fire. Wanashitati nashta, and by the angels which steadily draw out the souls of the righteous with gentleness. Wasabihati sabbaha, and by those angels who swim and glide along. They swim and dive deep to every cell of the body to extract the soul, just like the swimmer dives deep into the sea. Fasabikati sabka farmadu mudabirati amra. And so overtake one another with swift overtaking and dispose of the command. They manage its affair, its punishment and reward by preparing it, the soul, for perceiving what torments and rewards are stored up for it. And the swimmers glide along in their tasks, and so overtake each other as in a race. And they dispose of the affairs of the servants, relating to their worldly life and religious life as laid out for them. Yaum tarjufu rajifa, the day when a violent commotion will convulse the world. This refers to the first blast of the horn of Israfil, alayhi wasalam, and it was described by that which will occur when it is blown. When that happens, the earth will shake violently until all upon it will die, and the mountains will quake, and the earth will be leveled. Tatmauha radifa, followed by further convulsions. This refers to the second blast of the horn. Between the two blasts, there will be a period of 40 years. The first blast will bring death to all creatures, and the second blast will resurrect them back to life. Kulubu yaumaydi wajifa. Hearts that day will be throbbing in intense agitation. These are the hearts of those who used to reject the truth and the resurrection. They will be in an overwhelming state of terror. Absaruha kashya, their eyes downcast. The eyes of their hearts' owners will be downcast out of humiliation and shame because of the fright they will experience that day. In this world, they used to say mockingly and in denial, Yakuluna inna lana mardun duna fil hafira. They say, what? Shall we be restored to our former state? Shall we, after we die, be returned to our first state so that we live again? In this way did they reject the resurrection, and they add to this and say, Aida kunna idaman nakhira, when we shall have become crumbling bones. After our bones rot and crumble, how can we be revived? For that is the farthest state from life. Kalu tilka idan karatun khasira. They say, then that would be a return with loss. They say with sarcastic mock and derision, but if indeed they were to be resurrected, then it would be a great loss for them. But Allah retorts and says, Va innama hiya zazaratu wahida. But verily it will be but a single accusing cry. Do not imagine that this is difficult for Allah. Rather, it's the easiest for Him, for it is all but a single shout. Va'idha hum bin sahira. And then behold, they will be fully awakened. So they will be alive upon the face of the earth after they were dead in it. It's narrated that the sahira refers to a white and flat land, and that the one who traverses it does not sleep out of fear of harm and destruction. It is a land which Allah will recreate on the day of judgment, and the people will be judged upon it. And this is what is referred to by his saying, when the earth will be substituted with a different earth. 1448. And know that the spirits are those which dive deep into the seas of oneness, and those which are drawn away from the worldly attachments and lower desires of the ego, and those who swim with their reflections in the ocean of the lights of the Malakut and the secrets of the Jabarut. So they race to the Holy Presence and dispose of the affairs of the creation by the Reals granting them powers of management of the universe. Those who tear themselves away from self-gratifications and its desires and drown in acts of devotion, devoting themselves wholeheartedly to them. And this is the most precious of servants. Those who draw themselves away from the lower world and its people in fleeing to Allah. And these are the most precious of ascetics. Those who swim with their intellects in the secrets of the knowledges, so they extract from the Quran and the prophetic example precious pearls which benefit themselves and others to the day of judgment. And these are the most precious of the scholars, those who race to Allah in all manner of spiritual exercises and strivings and moving from station to station until they come to the eyewitnessing of the real Al-Haq. And these are the most precious of the poles, Aqtab, and sources of succor. So these are all descriptions of the souls and states of their voyaging, suluk, for they all divest themselves of selfish lower desires and move with energy to the world of holiness and swim between the levels of ascension, so outrace each other to acquiring the perfections and plan for and manage the command of calling to Allah. Those who drive themselves to the arenas of the manifestations of divine immensity, so these spirits, passionately in love, free themselves from the minds of contingency, as in they enter the eternal domains. And the nashtat, those who move with energy, are those yearning spirits who emerge from the confines of their bodies with vigor when they behold the beauty of the real in the moment of unveiling, kashf. And the sabihat, those who swim, are those who swim in the seas of his malakut, in the greatness of his jabarut, seeking the secrets of the first and the last, the outer and the inner. And the sabiqat, those who race, outrun each other in their ascension to the world of the malakut and the gardens of the jabarut, and in the mudabbirat, those who plan are the sanctified intellects who plan and manage the affairs of servitude as they conform to the divine command. Allah swears that He will resurrect the spirits dead with ignorance and heedlessness in the moment of their becoming aware of walking the path through invocation and striving. So when they are enlivened with gnosis of Allah, then they enter abiding life. All this occurs when they stand forward to break their habits and disobey the callings of their egoistic desires. This will be followed with a second commotion, which is the appearance of the lights of witnessing, in which it will be released from the grips of its death to a life which is not followed by any death. As for the death of the senses, hissi, it is nothing but moving from a station, maqam, to another station. Hearts that day, the day of striving, will be in agitation, not finding any repose until it beholds its beloved. During its voyaging, it is humbled, not wearing any cloak of might, until it arrives at its completion and destination. As for those who deny this way and its people, they say, shall we return to the original state in which the spirits found themselves in pre-eternity, after we began our journey by being cast in the mires of ignorance and mindlessness? They say such a return would be a great loss for us, because of their claim that if they come to that station, there will remain for them no cause for pleasure. Whereas if one is confirmed in his arrival with the realization of Gnostic knowledges, then he experiences the ecstasy of both forms and spirits. So Allah said in retorting their claims that such is impossible. It is only one shout arising from the himma, the spiritually concentrated willpower of the Gnostic, or from the glance of a perfected saint, and behold, they will be on the earth of the Holy Presence. So when he began by describing their rejection of the final gathering and resurrection and their rebellion against the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recounted the story of Musa, alayhi salam, and Pharaoh's rebellion against Allah, Most High, when he claimed divinity for himself, so that he may comfort his messenger. So he said, Hal ataka hadithu Musa, as the story of Musa reached you. By this, he ennobles the news he is about to give him, for it is as if he tells him, did his story reach you? Then I myself will tell you. This was the first instance wherein he informed him of the story of Musa, alayhi salam. Or it could be that his story reached him before, so he is saying here, has not his story reached you? إِذْ نَدَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّاسِ تُوَى. Behold, your Lord did call him in the sanctified valley of Tuwa. Did news of him reach you when his Lord called him in the sacred blessed valley, whose name is Tuwa? إِذَّبَ إِلَّا فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَى. Go to Firaun, the Pharaoh, for he has indeed transgressed all bounds. He has exceeded the proper bounds in his transgression and rejection of truth. فَقُولْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَّا أَن تَزَكَى. So say to him, are you desirous of attaining to purity? So say to him, after you come to him, do you have a desire and do you seek to reach purity and cleanse yourself from the impurity of non-belief and transgression through obedience and faith? He expressed it in the form of a question so that it would be easier on his ears and lighter on his heart. For Pharaoh, being his foster father, had rights over him. Wadiyaka illa rabika fatashka tahsha. And that I guide you to your Lord so that you would be in reverential awe of him. So Musa, alayhi salam, sought to guide him to knowledge of his Lord by recounting the evidences of his oneness and qualities of his essence. And reverential awe cannot exist without knowledge. As he says, indeed, those of his servants who fear him are those who possess knowledge. 35:28. Meaning those who know Allah by Allah. For the one who truly knows and recognizes Allah is incapable of disobeying him, not even for an eye blink. So awe is the most sublime part of the affair, for he who is in awe of Allah, all good emanates from him, and the secure is victorious over every evil. It's narrated in the hadith, he who is in awe of Allah finds salvation, and whoever finds salvation arrives at the goal. Farahul ayatar kubra. Then he showed him the great sign. He, alayhi wasalam, did not immediately show him this sign after the above conversation, but after many conversations, until he said to him, if you have indeed come with a sign, then show it to me. And the great sign referred to here is the staff which became a large serpent after he cast it down. And the second great sign is how his hand turned intensely white after he drew it out from his bosom. And both of these constitute the one great sign. Fad kadaba wasa. But Pharaoh disbelieved him and rebelliously rejected all guidance. He did not submit to Musa alayhi salam and did not believe in the message he brought from Allah. Rather, he went beyond his bounds and claimed it was all merely sorcery and imputed lies to Allah, and was extreme in his rebellion. For he straightway denied the very existence of the Lord of the worlds when that accursed one and his people were ordered to worship the Lord of the worlds. Thumma barayasa. Then he turned his back, striving hard against Allah. He turned away from obedience, for it narrated that when Musa alayhi salam threw his staff, it turned into a mighty serpent 80 cubits long with mouths open, lunged at Pharaoh, and he ran away, and the people were defeated. And 25,000 of them died that day. The serpent lifted its head in the sky, then chased after Pharaoh, saying to Musa, "Order me as you like." And Pharaoh said to Musa, alayhi salam, "By he who sent you, take it away." So he took hold of it, and it became a staff again. Fahashara fanada. And he collected the people and made a proclamation. Pharaoh gathered the sorcerers and the people and said, Fakolana rabbukumul ala fada fa'ahadahu lahu nakalal akhirati wa alula. I am your Lord Most High. So Allah punished him and made him an example in the life to come and in this life. For he drowned him in the sea and saved his body, and in the hereafter he will make an example of him. Inna fi dhalika la'ibratan liman yakhsha. Verily, and this is an instructive warning for whoever is fearful of Allah. In this story between Musa alayhi salam and Pharaoh, and what he did with him, there are lessons to be reflected upon by those who recognize Allah, the Exalted, and know His power and authority. And know that Musa alluded to the heart, and Pharaoh pointed to the ego self. So it is said, has news of the heart reached you, when its Lord called it in the sanctified presence, after the folding away the tie of the universe from the mirror of his vision? So he said to them, he said to him, go to the Pharaoh of the self, for he has transgressed his bounds. And his transgression means its desire for supremacy and show. So he said to him, do you desire purification and cleansing from the impurities so that you may enter the presence? And I guide you to gnosis of your Lord, and you come to have all of him. For the one who is in awe of him is the one who recognizes him. So he showed him the great sign, namely the breaking of the habits and the disobedience of the callings of desire. But he rejected this invitation and disobeyed when he saw the heart's resolution to take the path of striving. So he gathered his armies of love in the lower world and leadership and approach of the people to him and gratification of lower desires, and he called out, I am your Lord of Master, Most High, so do not worship other than me. These are the words of the Pharaoh of the ego self. So Allah took him to punishment and made an example of him, meaning the army of the heart overpowered him, drowned him in the deep sea of annihilation and abiding. And in that there is a deep lesson for the one in awe who walks the way of purification, for he arrives at the sea of oneness. Fa'idha ja'ati ta'amatu kubra. Therefore, when there comes the great overwhelming event, which is the manifestation, the tajali of majesty, jalal, which none recognizes except the men. Ya'uma yada kharu yadhakaru insanu ma'asa'a. The day when the human shall remember all that he strove for. All that he strove for in acquiring the knowledge of divine unity. So whoever knows Allah in everything can recognize him in all of his manifestations, no matter which form it takes or changes into. And whoever is deficient in gnosis, then he recognizes him in some things and not in others. Just as it was narrated in the Hadith on the day of resurrection, how for every servant Allah has a specific form by which he recognizes him. So he will first manifest himself in a form they do not recognize, and they will deny it as him and will say, we will remain in this place of ours until our Lord appears to us. then he will manifest himself to them in the form they each recognize, and they will thus accept him. And this is indicative of their share in Gnosis, for if they recognized Allah in all of his manifestations, they would not be ignorant and deny some of his manifestations. Wa burizatil jahimul limayara. And hellfire shall be placed in full view for all to see. This is for whoever does not recognize him in anything, for he is the source behind the manifestation of all things, whether relating to beauty, jamal, or majesty, jalal, the sublime or lowly, the physical forms or spiritual meaning. Then for him who had transgressed the divinely set bounds and had preferred the life of this lower world, as for him who follows after his lower desires wherever they lead him and prefers this world and busying himself with it instead of approaching Allah, then fa'inna jahima hiya marwa. For him the goal shall be the hellfire. It is the fire of being deprived of witnessing the All-Merciful. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And as for him who fears the standing before his Lord, this can be construed to mean fears his Lord's establishment, qiyam, in everything, or could mean fears his rank over everything and beholding all things, or could mean fears standing before his Lord during the accounting. The first applies to the people of contemplative witnessing, mushahada. The second to the people of watching and guarding, muraqabah. And the third to the people of taking oneself to account, muhasabah. Wanaha nafsa anil hawa, and restrain themselves from lower desires. Meaning from everything which preoccupies one from Allah and hardens the heart, making it difficult to remember him. For him the goal shall be the garden. The gardens of Gnosis for the one who restrains himself from indulging in permitted things, and the garden of ornaments for the one who restrains himself from indulging in forbidden things. In these verses, Allah Most High speaks to His servant in terms of the beginnings of their stations, when, leaving the ego selves and their evil desires and leanings to its gratifications became incumbent upon them. For they are in the moment of constriction to reach their Lord. So they are not allowed luxuriant expansion in indulging in allowances and enjoyments. So he ordered them to turn away from gratifying their lower ego selves, lest they should be prevented from arrival to Allah Most High. And also due to their knowledge that Allah is well aware of the movements of the hidden desires of their selves to get them to their intended goal away from Allah. So if they strive against them and subdue them with the aid of Allah, then Allah causes them to arrive to the station of direct witnessing, which is the garden of the Gnostic servants. So if they ascend to the levels of Gnosis and its sublimity, they are no more in need of actively subduing themselves and restraining them from their passions, for their bodies and selves and devils become spiritualized, and so they take company with the spirits of the Malakut. In this station, their selves desire the same sweetness in witnessing the real as the spirits desire in gardens where the lights of divine manifestation shine gloriously. And where is the rejecter and cover of truth and pretender in relation to this sublime station? For they were created upon ignorance and die in misguidance. While for the possessors of hearts and Gnosis, the life of their spirits is the life of the lordly Rabbani, and the life of their selves is the life of the inhabitants of the garden. And Allah is fully capable of this, and He chooses whom He will for His mercy. Along the same lines did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "My devil, my shaitan has submitted to Allah." And he said, "We are the prophets, our very bodies are spirit. For this reason, no one is completely free of their lower desires except the prophets. And the one who ties his self within the bounds of divinely set courtesy becomes free of his lower desires. And whoever confines himself within the limits of courtesy, adab, dwells in the heaven of realities, or the earth of egoistic portions, safely. With divine permission and stability and certitude, and as he says, how few are they?" 38:24. Then he mentioned their question concerning the overwhelming event and said, "Yasalunka nisati ayanna murshaha." They ask you about the last hour, when it will come to pass. When will Allah bring it to pass, and at what moment will it occur? Fima antamin dikraha. But how could you tell anything about it? What authority do you have, and how could you even inform them of its appointed time so that they should ask you about it? You are but a warner of its coming, and that is solely in the knowledge of Allah who knows the unseen. He does this to retort the mocking question of theirs. And your appearance and mission, O Seal of the Prophets, is among its heralding signs, which indicate its coming, so they do not need to ask about its specific time. Then Allah informed us that He alone knows the reality of its appointed time. So He said, "Ila Rabbika al-Muntaha," with your Lord is the limit fixed, meaning only Allah knows when exactly it is to occur. "Innama anta mundiru ma yakhshaha." You are only a warner for those who are apprehensive of it. You are not sent to inform them of its appointed time. You were sent to warn them of its terrors, and no one benefits from your warnings except those already in all of it, those who fear its terrors. "Ka'annahum yawma yarawnaha lam yalbathu illa ashiyatan al-duhaha." The day they shall see it, it will seem as if they had lived in this world no longer than one evening, or at most until the following morning. Due to the overwhelming intensity of that frightful day, they will lose all perception of the length of their earthly stay, and will believe that they were only on earth for one evening or one night with its morning. This is similar to his saying, "On that day it will be as if they stayed on earth no more than an hour in a single day." 46:35. The intended meaning is that the act of resurrection will not take more than a day. And this goes along further to demonstrate the unexpectedness and speed with which it will suddenly arrive. So when they see it, it will seem as if they barely spent a single day on earth after being warned of its coming. They ask you, O Gnostic knower, concerning the hour wherein Allah will open up the one who directs himself towards him to enter the station of annihilation in the divine essence. But you are only a warner for those who fear its passing. You are only responsible for clarifying the way leading to it and warning others of the obstacles which block one from it, but you are not responsible for informing them of its moment of arrival, for it is a pure grant from the generous. And when they finally experience it and see its greatness, it will seem as if they spent a short while striving for it, traveling towards it. I ask Him Most High to guard us in His protection and confirm us in His gnosis. Amin. 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 A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.